Well, Rhonda, we are so excited to have you here. A little bit about her and her husband, Tim. She's from Michigan, he's from Canada, so of course God would raise them up to change and rock the nation of Mexico. So that just totally makes sense. Tim and Rhonda pastor a wonderful church in Mexico City, have for 21 years, a powerful church. They head up Rhema, Mexico, which has a campus in Mexico City. There are 32 states in the country of Mexico. They basically have 5 campuses of Rhema right now, 6th one starting in September. God has put it on their heart to raise up nationals, train them to reach their country. So the goal, and I believe that goal will be very, very fast, they will have a Rhema Bible Training College in the capital city of every state in Mexico. So Rhonda, just come and flow and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, bless you. Make me feel at home. Say this with me. Say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now tell your neighbor, buckle your seatbelt. You're fixing to go on a ride. You're fixing to go for a ride here, people. It really is a joy and an honor to be here with you all today. Your pastors are amazing. How about an amazing hand clap for your pastors, because they rock. They have a heart for the world. They have a heart for you. And it's an honor, really. I had the most fun in my life, really, being with all of you ladies this weekend. And it's an honor to be here before all of you men as well, and to bring the word of God. And I know that the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of you as the word of God goes forth today, just to encourage you in this time, in this unlimited season of time that we live in, as we all reach higher into the stratosphere of the heavenlies here on earth to do the work that God has called us to do. Now, Pastor mentioned a little bit about our work. Mexico City is a city of 30 million people. Its diameter is 70 miles across, just one city. For us, sometimes we can leave our house. We live 35 miles from the church, and sometimes it can take us up to minimum. It takes us 50 minutes to get to church every Sunday, but on special holidays or occasions or when there's lots of traffic, it can take 2 or 3 hours to get to church and get home. One time we were doing our Christmas banquet. We had Bob Harrison with us. My husband left 2 hours before the banquet, thought they'd get there in time to fellowship with everybody before the dinner started, and then Bob had to preach. 3 hours later, they're still 20 minutes outside of the building. So Bob and Tim got out, ran to the church building the next 20 minutes. My daughter Hannah drove the car in so that Bob could make it in time to speak. They missed the dinner, they missed the fellowship, but he got there in time to actually give the word. And so we call it the concrete jungle. But we love it. Never feel sorry for a true missionary. Never feel bad that they're living in a country or in a nation other than home, because it's where God has called them. And there's grace and there's peace to be in that place. There's provision and protection to be in that place. And we're honored and delighted to represent you and to be connected with this great ministry in Mexico City. How many of you can say amen? All right, do you have your Bibles? Grab them out. Let me see them. Paper, electronic, or what otherwise? Computer. All right. Wave it around. Wiggle it around. Do what John Osteen used to say and make the devil mad. Amen. Let him know that I'm a Bible-toting, Holy Ghost-believing believer of the Word of God, and I'm going to wield my sword. Amen. Make sure the devil knows you've got your weapon. Well, I want to talk to you today about the crown. How many of you know that we've been crowned with glory? We were crowned in the day that we were created to rule and reign on this earth. And you know, my passion really is teaching, training, and mentoring others for success in the kingdom of God. And so today, in just this few minutes that we have together, I really hope to inspire you to rekindle your passion for salvation. To rekindle a passion for souls and focus on what you can do to bring salvation and the gospel message to the people in your sphere of influence. And then really, I hope that after today, you are refreshed in your spirit. That you feel refreshed, like he said, mount up with wings as eagles, be refreshed, don't be weary. We know, ladies, it's been a long conference, and for those of you serving, it's been long days and short nights. But after the word of God comes in, we hope it refreshes your spirit. And then the last thing I hope that you leave with today is that you would be renewed in your body and restored in your soul. As a three-part being, it's spirit, soul, and body. And when the spirit's out of whack, soul and body don't have a chance. But when you're born again and your spirit man is reconnected with God, now it's up to us to get our soul and our body to line up with spirit. And how many of you know it's not enough to know the Word of God and to have a notebook full of notes and to know what the Word says about healing, but yet not experience it in your body, not experience that in your soul. And so today, with the Word of God, I hope to encourage you to be refreshed in all of these areas. And lastly, that you would do as I am doing and will continue to do until Jesus comes, and that is contend for the miraculous. Contend to see the miraculous. Be a willing vessel to be used of God to bring a miraculous touch of God to someone else. And that's what the ladies and I, we experienced a lot of that this weekend. The Holy Spirit manifested, He poured out, and I believe He will do the same today. As you draw on the anointing, He will reach down and bless you. Can you say amen? Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read in the Amplified Classic the verses 7 through 13, and it just basically explains what I'm going to be doing here today. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding, but now revealed to us by God. All right, this wisdom was hidden from human understanding, but now it's revealed to us by God Himself. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages was for our glorification, to lift us into the glory of His presence. None of the rulers of this world age perceived and recognized it or understood it, for if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and it has not entered into the hearts of man all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready, listen, keeps ready for those who love Him, who hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him. Ladies, we talked about that. Promptly obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit and gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed on us. Yet to us, God has unveiled it and revealed it through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, and even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God. That's the divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. In other words, it's like submarines. They're down under the waters. And for the destroyer on the surface to get that submarine up where he can nail it with the torpedo, he's got to drop a depth charge. And that depth charge goes off and it forces that submarine to the surface. And that's what the Holy Ghost does with God. He goes into those profound regions of God where you and I can't even enter in. And He pulls on that wisdom of God and then He expounds it and gives it to us. He goes to the places in God we can't go. And then He brings that information to us so that we can live an amazing life on this earth. I love that. For what person perceives or knows or understands what passes through any man's thoughts except that own man's spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns or comes to know and comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God. He was given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor. We've got gifts of divine favor that we've got to recognize and appreciate in order to participate with them in the earth. Hallelujah. Many people know this word. They see it written, but they don't participate with it because they don't recognize or esteem it. And God is trying to get our attention to recognize and esteem these words of truth. Hallelujah. And we're setting, and this is what I'm doing today, we're setting these truths forth in words that are not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. So who's this for? This word is for believers. Believers possess the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, if you possess the Holy Spirit, if you're born again by the Spirit, then you have access into this heavenly place to know the profound things of God and to be able to utilize them in the earth. Amen, sister? In the earth to bless others around you. Like I told the ladies, all the gifts in the Bible are to have service for God, as serving God, worshiping God, and then serving mankind. It's not enough just to serve God, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to serve one another. That's what this power is for. And because all of the things in this earth point to Christ, God will not allow Christ and his holy things to be profaned. What does profaned mean? It means to treat something sacred as common. It means to treat something holy as normal and regular and eh. Take it or leave it. The Bible says that Esau, amen, sister. The Bible says that Esau was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Why was Esau evil? Because he did not esteem his birthright. Well, what's the big deal about esteeming your birthright? Let me tell you what the big deal is. In a nutshell, this message about the crown, be the crown, wear the crown. This message is about esteeming who you are in Christ. If you don't esteem and recognize and know who you are in God, the Bible calls that evil. Because Esau thought, I'm starving to death. If you don't know the story, go back in the Bible and examine it. It's fabulous. He was hungry. And so he came to his brother who was cooking stew, and he said, give me some of your stew. And Jacob, being the sharp businessman that he was, he said, okay, I'll give you some stew, but sell me your birthright. I've heard many preachers say, Jacob is a swindler, he's a deceiver, he's so deceptive, he's a thief. No, he's not. Esau sold him the birthright. He was astute and cunning and smart and sharp businessman. He made a business deal that was advantageous for him. How many of you know that Jesus did a business deal that was advantageous for you on the cross? Hallelujah. We're just smart enough to receive it, believe it, accept it, and live it. Hallelujah. It had to be legal. It had to be bought for it to be holy and righteous and legal. And the Bible says that God calls Esau evil because he disdained his birthright. He said this, he goes, what good's this birthright gonna do me now? I'm at death's door. I'm starving. What good's this birthright gonna do me? I'm gonna sell it. Jacob understood and esteemed that birthright, because with the birthright comes the blessing. The blessing of the firstborn. And why is the blessing of the firstborn so important? Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, was the firstborn of the Father. He died and went to heaven for us. And the Bible says all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. The blessing of the firstborn. And if you and I are in the firstborn, then the blessings of Abraham come on us. Esau and Jacob was a type of people who esteem the things of God and those who do not. That's why it's evil. And I want you to esteem the crown that was placed on your royal head by your heavenly Father, the King of Kings. That's what this message is about today. We must handle our Christianity with reverence and honor for the Lord and be living examples of this life of faith on the earth. Why do you think God chose the Israelite nation in the beginning? What was his purpose for choosing one nation out of mankind? It was so that they could be a light, so that they could be an example of how to live and move and have your being with God. But they blew it. They messed up. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came. They didn't recognize him, the one that they had read about. They didn't recognize him when he was standing right in front of them. And Jesus said this right before he went to the cross. He said, too bad for you. You didn't recognize, I am the guy that you think you know. And because you didn't recognize your time of visitation, listen, because you didn't recognize your time of visitation, you will be blinded until I come back. The nation of Israel is blinded until Jesus comes back. When the rapture happens and we're out of here, guess who takes up the mantle of preaching the gospel during the tribulation? The nation of Israel. They'll take their place again and they'll preach the gospel. Jesus wants you and I to refocus. Number one, refocus on salvation and refire a passion for souls in your heart. Romans 10 verses 1 through 4 says this: Brethren, with all my heart, desire, and goodwill for Israel, I long and pray to God that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a certain zeal and enthusiasm for God, but it is not enlightened and according to correct and vital knowledge. Understand, we have to have an enlightenment according to correct and vital knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes to, which makes one acceptable to him in word, thought, and deed. Notice how important being acceptable to God is. It's word, thought, and deed. Don't sit there in that chair and think thoughts and think that God's not paying attention. Well, I didn't say it. I didn't do it. But you thought it. And you're not sorry that you thought it. Ooh, I'm stepping on some toes. You're looking at that thing. I didn't do anything. I was just looking. Yeah, but you're looking and your thoughts are involved. And whether you act on that thought or not, God will judge you based on your thoughts unless you judge yourself. Get a hold of yourself. That's just a little side journey. Totally free. I will not charge for that. For being ignorant of the righteousness that God ascribes to, which makes one acceptable in word, thought, and deed, they, seeking to establish a righteousness, a means of salvation of their own, watch this, this is what the world is doing all around us right now, trying to establish their own means of salvation. They did not obey or submit themselves to God's righteousness. We're not going to obey or submit to this, says the world. Every day on the news, every day in the papers, every day on the internet. We're going to do our thing our way. We're going to create what we want to do. We're not ascribing to this. Thank you very much, they say. So because of that, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, the limit at which it ceases to be the law. For the law leads up to Christ, him who is the fulfillment of all of its types. For in him, the purpose that it was designed to accomplish is fulfilled. That is, the purpose of the law is fulfilled in Christ as a means of righteousness. In other words, it's the only way to heaven is through Christ. That's the purpose of the law. It's fulfilled in Christ as a means of righteousness, right relationship to God for everyone who trusts in, adheres to, and relies on him. Wow. We cannot do it our own way. We cannot do our own thing. We cannot create Christianity 103, how we want to do it, the gospel according to Rhonda, whatever feels good, do it. We have to ascribe to what he said. We've got to do it his way. And in this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, don't you know, it's going to be tougher and tougher to stand still and uphold the righteous standard in the midst of this dark world, which is why what Pastor Tony shared in Isaiah is so important. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength to stand in the day and to hold the righteous standard of Jesus Christ and to stand on the side of God when the whole world is going crazy on the other side. Woo! Salvation. Salvation. 1 Timothy 4:1. This is today. Watch this. Read this. But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach. But you and I need to be like the Thessalonians and the Bereans. Acts 17:11 says, but now these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they examined the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true. God wants you and I to study, to show ourselves approved. A workman, a workwoman that need not be ashamed of the gospel. But we are strong to stand up for it in this evil generation. I thought it was funny when Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? And I'm thinking, Absolutely, I'm going to be here. When you come back and I meet you in the clouds, but maybe he's talking about the second coming. Will he find faith on the earth after we're gone? After we're gone, how will things be when chaos reigns supreme? It's because of that, because that day is before us, that day is coming, that day is ahead of us, that we've got work to do, ladies and gentlemen, reaching our community for Christ, reaching into every sphere of influence, reaching into every religious culture out there, every ethnos out there, and bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The number one priority of Jesus Christ is salvation. I came that they might have life and that more abundantly. And I commission you once again with the responsibility to take that great commission out those doors, work with your pastors, and do the job of an evangelist, a minister of the gospel of reconciliation in your community, in your sphere of influence. Point number two. Refocus your attention on who you are in Christ. And the ladies got a mega dose of that this weekend. Genesis chapter 2, and I'll just paraphrase. You can do your study, but I'll read Genesis 2:7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being." So the very DNA of God lives in us. It's the part of us that makes us eternal. This earthly body is just dirt and water. It's basically mud. And what's in us is the spirit of life. And it's that spirit of life that we have to take into this lost and dying world. We've got to focus on that's who I am. Rhonda is not Rhonda, this girl body. Rhonda is a powerful spirit being living inside this girl body. And you're a powerful spirit being living inside the body that you have. And you need to get in touch with... They always say, get in touch with your feminine side. I say, get in touch with your spiritual side. Stop being so in touch with your body side. Stop being so in touch with your intellectual side, although that's awesome, because this man's got an intellect that's like completely awesome. But your spirit should be detecting or directing your mental capacities, your physical capacities, your emotional capacities. Everybody needs to submit to spirit man on the inside, spirit woman on the inside. That's the real you. And if we don't come in touch with that, then we live by the flesh. We live out of emotion. We live a substandard life. And you are not crowned to live a substandard life. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. That spirit, that light, and that life. God, get this one. When God created us, he created us deliberately. Without the knowledge of evil. When Jesus came in the garden and he said, who told you? Who told you that was a thing? We were deliberately created to not have to even worry about that. Not be concerned about that. Our whole focus was to be here. Walking with him. Talking with him. Tending the garden. With him by our side. Not preoccupied with the other side of things. God in his mercy was keeping us from the preoccupation of that. And in that day, our crown tilted and fell off our heads. Our creation purpose was to fellowship, to rule, to reign, and to live without the knowledge of evil. But Adam and Eve, they didn't recognize or esteem what they had either. Just like Esau. They did not recognize or esteem the power they had in the garden. And they doubted the word of the Lord. I wonder if we took a survey, how many of you here today have doubted the word of the Lord? How many of you have heard a word? You've received a word, whether you read it on your own and it popped off the Bible page and lit up, or somebody spoke a prophecy over you. No matter what form it comes in, no matter how it comes to you, when it comes to you, what did you do with it? Did you esteem it? Did you focus on it? Did you recognize that it's something that you need to pay attention to? Or did you go, it's just the word of God. He doesn't know what I'm going through. And we allow natural things to dictate our next move, our next thought, our next action, our next step. And we become just like Adam and Eve, not recognizing or esteeming the power of God that we have to rule and to reign in the earth. But don't you know, God was not content to leave us in that state. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, "But when the fullness of time, the proper time, had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law." John 1, 14 says, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten son, full of truth and grace." That light, heaven has come down, and we are now partakers of the rights and privileges of the firstborn. And there's power in that. That power was demonstrated this weekend. And in praise and worship today, I was standing here and all of a sudden, I don't know if anybody was, you probably weren't paying attention, you were worshiping God. But anyway, I was worshiping God and all of a sudden it was as if a rushing mighty wind just went right by me up this aisle. It just went whoosh. It brushed across my arm so much that as I'm praising God, actually I had this arm up, this arm was down. It brushed across this arm so violently that I turned to see, well, who was breezing by me? I thought maybe you were breezing by me. Something's happening. Kind of woke me up out of where I was. And then I looked and I went, there is nobody around me. There's nobody there. It was as if the Holy Spirit just brushed by me. And I thought, ooh, an angel's moving somewhere. Hallelujah. When you know who you are in Christ, when you walk with your crown firmly planted on your head, you fear no evil and you don't fear the moving of the Spirit. You don't fear to step out and do things. I was teaching the ladies this. This has got to be the norm. This has got to be the norm, not just in the house of God, but everywhere we go. This has got to be the norm. Oh, the miracles of God. We need to see the miracles of God. Each and every day we need to see the miracles of God. Woo! Number three. Are you taking notes? Number three. You're in the monarchy. You are a part of the royal family of God. You're a part of this royal family that rules and controls the kingdom of heaven on the earth. Just like the queen and the prince rules and controls the British monarchy in England, we rule and reign the kingdom of God monarchy on earth. We're the ambassadors of Christ here. We rule and reign here. We have authority here. Our word reigns supreme here. Are you listening to me? The world would like you to think that their word and their rule reign supreme here, but they do not. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord. And that's going to happen through you and I, being obedient to do our part. Being obedient to do our part. Hallelujah. We rule and reign here, people. It's time to pull your Bible out and start carrying it to work. I'm just saying. It's time to pull your Bible out and carry it to school. I'm just saying. You be led by the Holy Ghost. And you live your Christianity out loud every day. Because that's how you rule and reign on the earth. You don't rule and reign in a closet, stuck in a closet. We got too many closet Christians. I think it's time for the Christians to come out of the closet and meet up with other spirits that have come out of the closet and put them back where they belong. Take back the territory. Take back our terrain. Take back our nation for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the kingdom of God. And we're to rule and reign here as kings and queens in the earth. Let me give you an example. The ladies know this. I'm a TV movie buff. I just love movie lines. And I love this show. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. I mean, I don't know what it's rated, but I think it's rated really good. It's a TV show. It's on Netflix. It's called The Crown. And it's about the British monarchy, and I love it. I love all history. It's factual history, right? Well, it's the story of Queen Elizabeth II. And it's the fact that she became queen when her father died, and her new husband did not know what to do. He didn't understand his role in the monarchy. He didn't understand his place now in this new family. His wife is queen. What does that make me? He's thinking. He doesn't know how to operate. He doesn't know what to do. And so the king, he's getting ready to die. He knows his daughter is going to be the new queen. So he takes his son-in-law out shooting to impart a little wisdom into his son-in-law. And he's sitting in a boat getting ready to shoot ducks. And he says this to his son-in-law. He says, you know, my daughter is the job. It's not the titles. It's not the position. She is the job. Protecting her, loving her, honoring her is your job. Do you understand that? And the son goes, I think so. He's like, you better, you know. In other words, Christianity, Christ, is your job. Representing him, loving him, honoring him, protecting your sphere of influence in the kingdom is your job. It's not about all the blessings in Christianity and pray to get this and pray to get that and all of that. It's living your life out loud so that everywhere you go, it's like Pigpen in the Linus commercial. The cloud of glory just trails behind you, trails before you. Everybody can see Pigpen's trail of dust. Well, let them see your trail of cloud and glory. Let the glory cloud come before you and let it sweep over them after you've gone by. Everywhere you go, you can go ahead and clap. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Excite yourself in the Lord. Amen. Live your Christianity out loud. And then this is something else that, this is just stunning. I write this down. You can't because it's too long, but get the tapes and listen to it again. When the father died and Queen Elizabeth took her place as the queen, she's recognizing who I am and the responsibilities that come along with this. And I said this to the ladies, you've been born again to privilege, but with that comes specific obligations. And she's recognizing the obligations that she has as queen. And now she's got to balance. I'm queen, but I'm a wife. I'm queen, but I'm a sister. I'm queen, but I got to deal with parliament. How do I queen? Like, where do I fit in the queening thing? And here's what her grandmother, Queen Mary, wrote to her right after she became queen, after her son had passed away. Queen Mary's son passed away, and Queen Elizabeth becomes queen. Queen Mary wrote this, and you can look it up on Google. It's awesome. She says, I've seen many great rulers brought down by their inability to separate duty from personal indulgences. While you mourn the death of your father, there is something else you must also mourn. You must mourn Elizabeth, for she has been replaced by Elizabeth the ruler, and the two Elizabeths will be in constant conflict. But the fact is that the crown must win. Must always win. The crown takes precedence in every situation, meaning it always goes before and it stands alone. For the crown that we wear represents the kingdom of God, and the righteousness of that kingdom must win, must always win over our own personal indulgences or the personal indulgences of the people around us. A lot of people are indulging in a lot of things. And their personal indulgences should not infringe on my personal beliefs. And the crown for a Christian must always win. You can't afford to let down your guard for this one or for that one or even for yourself. You can't indulge in the world, have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. God wants you all in. You can't afford to be half-baked. Or he will spit you out of his mouth, the Bible says. He needs you all in, and the crown must be first, and it must stand alone. In other words, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb everywhere you go, and hallelujah for that. Hallelujah that you stand out like a sore thumb, a peculiar and a holy nation everywhere you go. You beautiful, amazing, oddball you. Stick out like a sore thumb everywhere you go. Speak it, teach it, talk it, sing it, preach it, pray it, prophesy it. Walk down the street singing praises to your God, carrying your big honking Bible under your arm, and make no apologies for it. Hallelujah, when you're operating on people, ooh, I don't even know, why did I do that? If you ever operate on people, God will be with you, you're going to do a great job. Pray over them. Pray in the Holy Ghost over them. Preach it, pray it, prophesy it, sing it, dance it, rejoice in it. Whatever it is you're called to do, you're a mechanic, do a mechanicking with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're an artist, do your artistry with the Holy Ghost. Leadership, Christian leadership is any vocation. Write that down. Don't forget about it. The crown must always come first. I'll end with this in the short time that we have, and then we'll just wait on the Lord and worship. But in the British government, there's two divisions of government. One, a branch of government is called the dignified, and the other is called the efficient. The two branches in the kingdom of heaven are also two, the vine and the branches. In the kingdom of the earth, the dignified is the monarchy, and the efficient is the parliament and all the government guys. The dignified gives significance to the government. In other words, the monarch gives their blessing over the work of the government, and then the government does the work. Are you with me? We are the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is dignified and divine, and we are efficient in the earth. God gives us significance to do his work in the earth. That's why I told the ladies, it doesn't matter if you're in a female body or a male body. What's on the inside is spirit. And God honors spirit. And when you speak his word, God honors his word. It's not you and your amazing abilities or lack thereof. It's whenever you speak the word of God, loudly and proudly or quietly and meekly, the Spirit of God comes on that word, and he dignifies that word, and he makes that word efficient in its moving. Can you see that? And so you never be afraid. And that's where the devil gets us. He makes us afraid to wield our sword. He makes us afraid to speak up in public about Christ and Christianity because now we're nervous. Because now, what, do they shut my business down? Will they persecute me? Will they write up an article about me as a hater I am? Right? Where there's this fear and intimidation that the enemy is coming in with in the earth. And he's trying to shut you up. But the Bible says he dignifies the efficient. Be efficient and proficient with the word of God, and God will dignify it. He'll raise it up. His righteousness cannot be overcome. That righteousness sustains you. I mean, some people might go to prison for the gospel's sake. Hello. There's Christians all over the world today that are being killed for the gospel's sake. Hello. That doesn't deter that the righteous standard stayed righteous. We just offered up this body back to the dust, but we go to be with him. Don't let that freak you out. It's part and parcel of the whole battle between good and evil. And upholding the righteous standard will come with severe persecution for righteousness' sake. But understand, Jesus is our monarch. He's the dignified, and he gives significance to those that efficiently and willingly use the gospel. Is that you? Will you do it? Will you open your mouth to all those cool kids you hang with and tell them about Jesus at any cost? If it means you lose them all, would you do it? Would you? All right. He'll dignify it. He'll dignify you and make you stalwart in the community. Sure, they're going to laugh, and they're going to tease, and they're going to rail on you big time. But who cares? God will raise you up and plant you and make you stalwart in this community. Stalwart in the community. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you. You work in such fun ways. You're so diverse and different and unique and amazing. And you work through each and every member of the body of Christ. When we step out to do the work of the ministry, his power shows up. It just shows up in that moment. And I know that there are some of you here today, and you've never made a public declaration, I want Jesus to be my Lord. You've never stood up in front of the people and said, call me a Christian, I want to be one, what do I need to do? And so today, as we close out this service, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision. Jesus said, out of his own mouth, he said, if you declare me before humanity, I'll declare you before my Father who is in heaven. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you know that he's calling and he's pulling and he's wooing you to know him on another level, and you want to make a bold declaration to have Jesus become your Lord and your Savior, if that's you and you want this free gift, it's not going to be forced on you. We're not going to coerce you. You have to desire it and then humbly say, yep, I receive that. And if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hands and look at me so I can see who I'm talking to? If you'd like us to pray with you, the prayer of salvation, would you raise your hand and look at me? We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you and get you the tools that you need to become a Christian and be planted in the house of God. If you were a Christian and you had a relationship with God, but you know that you've been running wild and you've been out away from God, away from home, but you're recognizing, I need to get in. I need to get serious about this. I need to investigate this Bible, and I need to know this Jesus. If that's you and you want to make a rededication or recommitment to the Lord, would you raise your hand? Are there any hands in the house today? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I see that hand. Are there any others that would like to join these? Yes, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you then, as a declaration of your decision to be bold, I'm going to ask you to take another bold step and come on down here and meet me. I'd like to shake your hands, and I'd like to pray with you personally. If you raised your hand on any of those invitations, or if you should have raised your hand and you didn't, come on down. I want to meet you personally. Hallelujah. Hi, honey. Thank you for coming down. Stay right here. We're going to pray real quick. How are you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on right over here. We're going to pray with you. Glory to God, sir. Praise the Lord. So nice to see you. I'm going to pray with you guys all together. Is anybody else that wants to join us? While we're praying up here, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads in the congregation? As you guys all know, I can't give you anything. But the Holy Spirit is here to give you what you need to reestablish yourself in the kingdom of God and reconnect you with Him. And so if you would just repeat after me what you believe in your heart with your mouth and just say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I declare before these people, you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive you as my Savior. I turn from my sin, and I promise from this day forward to learn of you, to follow your word, to plant myself in a good church, this church. And I promise to follow you all the days of my life. I give myself to you wholly. And I thank you that you receive me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know what the Bible says that's happening right now in heaven? It says that all the angels are rejoicing in heaven. And so why don't we just rejoice a little bit for the decision that these guys have made. Rejoicing. Today's the beginning of the rest of the days of your life, and it's going to be the best. You know, the Bible says the rest of our life is going to be the best of our life. And so I believe the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life. Now, I believe that we have some materials that we want to get into your hands, a free gift from the church. And I'm going to ask you to follow this gentleman right here. Are you with the altar team? Right here. All right. Then you're going to... Oh, you're one of his friends. Good. Then you're going to follow this young man to that place right now, and they're going to get those materials into your hands. Hallelujah. Why don't we clap for them as they go? They've made a big choice today. Part of the family of God. Aren't you glad for the things of God? Now, we're going to do what I said. I know that we try to be honoring time, but I also want to honor the Spirit, and I want to just double check and make sure one more time that there's not something else that we need to do by the Holy Spirit. And so as the musicians, if you would just play any song that you feel led to play, maybe the one about the name of Jesus, if you don't mind. I like that one. Hallelujah, what a beautiful name it is. Let's just wait on him right now. If you're a Christian and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's it, Lord. Thank you. If you're a Christian and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, while they sing about the beautiful name of Jesus and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want to pray for you because when the Lord ministers with me and uses me, I'll lay hands on people and they'll receive the gift of the Spirit of tongues and begin to speak in tongues right away. And if that's you and you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you come on down here while they're singing. This is what I just saw. I saw every man in this room, just filling this altar. Just filling this altar. And I just saw the pastors just going through and laying hands on the men just as you're standing there, just to bless them. There's something about the men of this church. There's a power and there's anointing. Come on down. Just make your way down, guys. There's a power and there's an anointing for the men of this church. You have an amazing leader. And your pastor is leading you to lead this city, to lead this delegation, to lead in this nation. I know sometimes, because things take time, that it's hard. It's hard to maintain. It's hard to hold the heaviness of the anointing. It's hard in this earthly temple to hold that place and to contend for that. But as we did this exercise, this is the heavy lifting and the obligation of Christianity. It weighs on the physical body, which is why you need the Spirit of God. And that's why I believe the Lord wanted every man to be anointed by their pastor to carry some of the anointing to help lift the load and carry it forth. The ladies were filled this weekend, and now you men got a dose of the Holy Ghost. And you might not realize it now, but in the spirit realm, we did what was good in the eyes of the Lord. We didn't disdain the time that it took. We gave the Lord an extra half hour of our lunch, and He is well pleased. He is well pleased. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so honored to have been with you today. I look forward to our churches working together to reach our distinctive communities and the Hispanic communities that we touch. And Pastor, thank you so much for the honor and the opportunity to minister to your precious people. I don't count that light. I esteem it that you opened your pulpit to me, and I'm glorified in God, and I give Him all the glory and the honor for all that is done here. And I pray for much fruit to remain and to grow and to take root here. In Jesus' name, thank you. Love you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you could be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.